Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 3, chapter 14, text 32. Atopaspriśyāsalīlam
Atopaspriśyāsalīlam
Pranam āyama āyam yavāgyatah Jayan prajā Jayan jajāpa virajam
Jayan jajāpa
Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam
Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam
Atro Paspriśya Salilam
Atro Paspriśya Salilam
Pranam Ayam Ayam Yavagyatah
Pranam Ayam Yavagyatah
Jayan Jajapa Virajam
Jayan Jajapa Virajam
Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam
Brahma Jyoti
Atha, thereafter.
Upasprisha,
touching or taking bath in water.
Salilam,
water.
Water.
Pranam ayama, ayamya.
Pranam ayamya.
Practicing trance.
Vak
yataha.
Controlling speech.
Dhyayan.
Meditating.
Jajapa.
Chanted within the mouth.
Virajam.
Pure.
Brahma.
Gayatri hymns.
Jyotihi.
Effulgence.
Sanatanam.
Eternal.
Translation, thereafter the Brahmana took his bath in the water and controlled his speech by practicing trance, meditating on the eternal effulgence and chanting the holy Gayatri hymns within his mouth.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As one has to take bath after using the toilet, one has to wash himself with water after sexual intercourse, especially at a forbidden time. Kasyapa Muni, meditating on the impersonal Brahmajyoti by chanting the Gayatri Mantra within his mouth. When a Vedic mantra is chanted within the mouth so that only the chanter can hear, the chanting is called japa. But when such mantras are chanted loudly, it is called kirtan. The Vedic hymn, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, can be chanted both softly to oneself or loudly. Therefore, it is called the Maha Mantra, or great hymn. Kashyapa Muni appears to be an impersonalist. Comparing his character with that of Thakur Haridas, as referred to above, it is clear that the personalist is stronger in sense control than the impersonalist. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Param Drishtva Nivartate, namely, one ceases to accept lower grade things when one is situated in a superior condition. One is supposed to be purified after taking bath and chanting Gayatri, but the Mahamantra is so powerful that one can chant loudly or softly in any condition, and he is protected from all the evils of material existence. Ato paspriśya salidam pranam ayamya vāk yataha dhyayan jajapa virajam brahma jyoti sanatanam. Thereafter the brahmana took his bath in the water and controlled his speech by practicing trance, meditating on the eternal effulgence, and chanting the holy Gayatri hymns within his mouth. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Meditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Svapatantikam. A number of points here. Maybe one that stands out the most is that Kasyapa Muni appears to be an impersonalist. Which is a little bewildering because Kasyapa Muni and Aditi had as their final son an incarnation of the Lord, Vamana. But in any case, here, his dhyayan, his meditation, is both upon Gayatri. Specifically, this is how Prabhupada has translated it, and upon the eternal effulgence of the Lord. So, Gayatri mantra is a Rig Veda mantra that is something like a touchstone. That is, it's something like Krishna, rather. As Krishna is regarded by a jiva, Krishna reciprocates with that jiva. If one regards him as his worshipable master, Krishna accepts him in that capacity. If one regards Krishna as his enemy, Krishna accepts him in that capacity. If one regards Krishna as the impersonal, Krishna reciprocates in that capacity. And Brahma Gayatri is like that also. There are persons who are demigod worshippers, they like Gayatri mantra. They assume and teach that Brahma Gayatri is meditation upon sun god. And the impersonalists, they like Gayatri mantra because they assume it's meditation upon the impersonal jyoti. And the devotees like Gayatri mantra because it's meditation upon Krishna. In the Jiva Goswami makes commentary in his Sandarbhas about Gayatri Mantra in the following way. He explains that according to the Puranas, one of the many things that Srimad Bhagavatam is that it's a commentary on Gayatri Mantra. It's a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. It's many things. But so as far as a commentary on Gayatri mantra, what Jiva Goswami does is he refers to the phrase Dhimahi, which appears in Gayatri mantra, as it does appear in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Satyam Param Dhimahi. And he explains that this word dhimahi has a particular connotation. Just like in this verse,
dhyayan. It's one of the many words that have as its meaning meditation. Just like in the Eightfold Yoga System, the final three of the Eightfold Yoga System are all meditation and meditation and meditation. One of those three terms is the title of chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, Dhyan Yoga. So, Dhyan, Dharana, and Samadhi are the final three of the Eightfold Yoga System. Meditation, meditation, meditation. But they have a particular connotation. Meditation, Dhyan, as here, means the practice of bringing the mind focused upon a particular subject, or rather object. And then dharana is fixed in that meditation, and samadhi is trance of meditation upon that object. Dhyan, dharana, and samadhi get stronger and strongest. So, just as dhyan, dharana, and samadhi, they have their particular meanings, shades of meaning of meditation. So, dhimahi is another. It means, if you were to translate it in English, it's I meditate upon, dhimahi. But dhimahi, Jiva Goswami explains, has a very specific application. And its application is in relation to Gayatri. And the same dhimahi that appears in Gayatri and also appears in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's explaining, dhimahi means upon satyam param. Not just satyam, but satyam param, the absolute truth. Satyam param dhimahi. So that's in the first verse. In the 12th canto, close to the concluding portion of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the word dhimahi appears again. And dhimahi there is in reference to the sun. But it appears that dhimahi, this meditation, is upon the sun. But Jiva Goswami explains an adjective describing the sun is a sun that's eternal. And this sun planet, although it's as long as the universe is, it's not eternal. So it's not meditation upon the sun. So he rules out meditation upon the sun god. So that leaves another. Maybe it's meditation upon the impersonal Brahman, or the Brahma Jyoti, or what Kasyapa appears to be doing here. Brahma Jyoti Sanatanam, meditation upon this impersonal feature. Although in the word for word Brahma, Prabhupada is translated as Gayatri Mantra. So he's meditating on Virajam Jyoti and Brahma, the Gayatri Mantras, and the transcendental effulgence. As Virajam is the in-between the spiritual and the material world. It's not contaminated by the modes of nature. Viraja, the river Viraja. In any case, reference that Jiva Goswami is making, but in addition to saying transcendental effulgence, Jiva Goswami points out that this transcendental effulgence is from a person. It's not just effulgence. Effulgence comes from a source, and the source is a person. And therefore, satyam param Dhimahi is upon Krishna, Gayatri Mantra. Brahma Gayatri Mantra is meditation upon Krishna. Without too much further expanding on that, the phases of creation, maintenance, and destruction are also mentioned in Brahma Gayatri Mantra. But just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he is the source of everything. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. He's the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction. So that the whole material world, the Brahma Gayatri is teaching, as the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving the explanation, comes from some source. Just as light comes from a source, the whole cosmic manifestation, in which there's a sun that gives light, but the whole cosmic manifestation comes from some source. And that same source maintains, and the same source arranged for the withdrawal of that cosmic manifestation. So the meditation is not upon some part of the creation, even the sun part of the creation, or even the effulgence of that source, but the source, who is the Supreme Person. So, back to Kasyapa Muni, he's meditating upon, it appears, upon the effulgence. The transcendental effulgence, not, you know, the light from the light bulb, or the light from a candle, not that kind of meditation, or even the light from the sun, but the light from the transcendent source of all that exists. And the particular point that Prabhupada is making in that paragraph is, this shows the strength that may come from one who is meditating on the impersonal compared to those who are meditating upon the personal feature of the Supreme. As in Haridas Thakur's case, Haridas Thakur was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as japa. Kasyapa Muni was chanting the Gayatri Mantra as japa, that is, softly within his mouth for his own audition only. Murmuring is sometimes translated. Brahmanas murmuring their Gayatri mantras, just so they alone can hear. But what strength came to Kasyapa compared to the strength of Haridas Thakur? The strength coming to Haridas Thakur when he's chanting the holy name as an invocation to the, or address to the Supreme Person, far stronger. Because one is, Kasyapa is his effort, and the other is Haridas Thakur, where it's his effort plus the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And on the pan scale, that gets greater weight. Impenetrable was Haridas Thakur. So, better to, when we're doing our chanting of sacred mantras, that we're calling the person, Supreme Person. There's certainly more factors. One other very important factor is not just that one has somewhere in there, in one's consciousness, is the idea that Krishna is a person, but also being present with Krishna as a person. Because when you're with a person, what to speak of the Supreme Person, be attentive, be present. This is a little off the subject, but actually it's on the topic. Just yesterday, one godbrother of mine was sharing that he was recently in Vrindavan, and when he was there, he received from Vurijan Prabhu a very small book on japa. And he read it like straight through from beginning to end, and he said it's had a profound effect on his japa. I responded by saying, I'm familiar with the book, I have a copy, and I've spoken on the same principles that are in the book, but the next Japa retreat is going to, I plan to focus on that, use that as a tool. It relates to this verse, but the presentation that Bhurijan has made is the one mantra at a time message as a sankalpa. The same, that this word sankalpa is used in karmakanda rituals. It's used in Vaishnava practices also. Just the application is very different. Sankalpa means intention. Like in where your attention is, that's what you want. Or it's where your focus goes. And so using that word sankalpa, Bhurijan is encouraging, and from his own example as well as encouraging others, the sankalpa of, in his own words, it's one mantra at a time. Don't worry about the future, don't worry about the past. Whatever the past has been, it's past. You can't do anything about it. Whatever the future is, you can't live it now, but you can live the moment. So chant one mantra. And then when that mantra is finished, don't worry about how good or bad it was. Chant the next mantra. So be present with Krishna. And when that focus is there upon Krishna, Krishna's there. He's there anyways, but Krishna's there in our attention. We become aware or conscious of Krishna. And it greatly helps any service that you want to do for Krishna, because you can then be same focused upon doing this for Krishna. And when you're focused upon doing this for Krishna, Krishna's reciprocation is accessed, because Krishna is ready to reciprocate with any one of us. So in other words, immediately our services improve. And not only our services improve, but our relationship with Krishna improves. Everything improves from this one thing. We may not be Haridas Thakurs. Maybe someone here is, or will become. But at least the protection, the spiritual strength that's needed to make our way through this material existence, through spiritual strength, the receiving of mercy, is most effectively accomplished through chanting of our japa, just as what this verse is describing. Dhyayan jajapa virajam brahma jyoti sanatanam. Bringing our attention, dhyayan, our meditation is bringing the mind to some object, so bring the mind to Krishna. And stay there. Even if the mind wants to go somewhere else, you stay there. And then mantra by mantra, name of Krishna by name of Krishna. Just as Prabhupada said about this, is it's perfectly in sync with the teachings of our founder Acharya. Prabhupada told one of his disciples who shared it with me, I'll leave their name unspoken, but Prabhupada said that if you can chant just one name of Krishna with full attention, your life is perfect. Not even one mantra, just one name of Krishna with full attention. And then he explained, every day when we chant our 16 rounds, we have 25,000 chances. Because 16 rounds is 25,000 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, just be present with one of those, one time in your life. don't worry about the ones that you didn't, you weren't successful previously. Just each name, be present. Seize the opportunity. Krishna is extending himself in the form of his holy name. So anyway, this is a means of internal purification. Going back to the storyline of what's taking place here, Kasyapa has yielded. He became weakened by an appeal of one of his wives, Diti, to have union with him at an inappropriate time. And out of kindness and appreciation and affection for her, knowing better, he nonetheless yielded. And now he's doing, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, he's making himself cleansed. It's interesting, in the first sentence of the purport, he's comparing going to the toilet and having union as something that is requires taking bath afterwards. You know, it's celebrated in the material world, at least the second one. But from the Vedic perspective, it makes the body not clean, and can make the mind also not clean. And so, in a proper sense, one becomes clean before, and one becomes clean after. And the act itself, if done in a proper way, is service unto the Supreme Lord. So it's not that, you know, the act is a dirty act, what that one should be ashamed of or feel bad about, but rather it's something that should be done in the proper consciousness. So Kasyapa, being a very qualified Brahmin, he understands this, and so he wants to keep his consciousness in an elevated state, free from the influence of the modes of nature and the attraction and repulsion of sense objects. And so he's making himself fit to function in that way. One final point is that Prabhupada is making a distinction between japa and kirtan. Vedic mantras are only to be chanted silently, or here the phrase is within one's mouth, so that only one can hear. That Maha Mantra, on the other hand, can be done in both ways, chanted softly and chanted in kirtan. And based on that distinction, Maha Mantra is therefore called Maha Mantra. Not only it can be chanted loudly, but anybody, unqualified or qualified, can chant the Maha Mantra. One of the reasons for this is that the Gayatri mantras, they're strict Vedic mantras that only persons with Purva Sangskar, or prior purification, can be eligible to chant. Now in this age of Kali, all kinds of things go on. And because all kinds of things go on, the mantra, the potency of the mantra is lost. It's like, I've been in assemblies where people are having Gayatri Mantra Kirtan and singing and singing, and the potency is lost in that forum, and that act or procedure. Only qualified persons, and in that those qualified persons, they duly chant in the way that's prescribed, both. But the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, anyone. It's not the same kind of a mantra. as opposed to the Vaidika mantra. It's a Panchratrika mantra. It can be accessed by anybody. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely distributed, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And then following the purification that comes from the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, that is the qualifier to be able to then receive Gayatri mantra and chant Gayatri mantra properly. This is the system that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura gave, which Prabhupada followed, and following them was doing the same. Hare Krishna mantra can be chanted by anybody and should be chanted by anybody in all times and circumstances and places. And through that purification, then initiation into the chanting of the Maha mantra, following that discipline for some time, initiation into the chanting of Gayatri mantra. And through that chanting of Gayatri mantra, worship of the deity and other forms of Vedic practices, like performance of yajñas and so forth, and deeply entering into the study of the scriptures. Naturally they follow. It's not that somebody that's not Brahminically initiated can't study the scriptures, but access through that purification is facilitated through mantra chanting. Otherwise you don't need mantra chanting, we'll just become gyanis and study the scripture. But being in the mode of receiving descending mercy, it's enhanced and strengthened by our sadhana practices of mantra chanting, Gayatri, the Maha mantra and Gayatri mantra chanting. So the concluding sentence of the purport: one is supposed to be purified after taking bath and chanting Gayatri, but the Maha mantra is so powerful that one can chant loudly or softly in any condition, and he is protected from all evils of material existence. Very merciful. Okay, any comments or questions on the verse? Yes?
I was wondering whether Kashyapa and Aditi, they pray to the Lord to become, to have their son. So the Lord became as their son as Vamana. But knowing that Kashyapa was meditating, like as an impersonalist, like meditating on this Brahmajyoti, so it was from the confidence.
So what's your question?
Actually, knowing that they requested the Lord to become their son.
Yes, confusing. I don't have a clear answer. Do you? I don't have a clear answer. I'll do some research and see if in the commentary of the Acharyas they make some presentation on that. But I brought it out without supplying the answer, and now you're asking directly, and I don't have the answer. The only thing that comes to mind is the Lord inspiring from within. Meaning, even before they offered their prayers to have the Son as their, have the Supreme Lord as their Son, there were prayers by Aditi to restore the kingdom of her son, Indra. So the Lord agreed to come as her son. And then some inspiration So because it's a little bit like Dhruva. What did Dhruva want? He wanted a kingdom. Really badly, he wanted a kingdom. And it wasn't for, you know, to serve Lord Vishnu. It was retribution. It was get back at his stepmother and his father. He was, you know, in a Kshatriya, get back spirit. And when his mother said, the only way this is possible is if you somehow get the favor of Lord Vishnu, and then anything is possible. Okay, where do I find Vishnu? So, the spirit of Ditti may have been something like that. So I want to check and see what the Acharyas say in their commentary. What happened with Dhruva is he went beyond the material motivation and became unmotivated and pure, and thus he saw Lord Vishnu. That's very clear in the description of Dhruva's life and the commentary. He went from Sakama to Nishkam Bhakti. So maybe, want to see what the commentaries say, maybe the inspiration from Aditi was so strong that even her husband, as powerful as he was, couldn't take care of the situation. Indra's, her son's, Indra's kingdom was usurped by Bali. What to do, what to do, what to do? Vishnu, please come. And perhaps in the same way as Dhruva became purified from Sakama to Nishkam Bhakti. Let's see what the Acharyas say. I'll research it. I don't recall anything from Prabhupada's commentary explaining it. It's an obvious contradiction. Anything else? Yes?
You were speaking about Brijan Prabhu's little book.
Yeah.
On Japa.
Yeah.
And is that, it describes 4 points where you...
I don't know. I haven't read it.
You had mentioned a couple of years ago or so in the Japa retreat, 4 points for
yes.
Japa.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in his book or not. You're asking the same question.
I'm not asking that question. My question is, the third point of that is Namashaya, to take shelter of the holy name, as you indicated, like that. And the first point is to bring the mind to Krishna. And at the same time, it seems not so much possible to bring the mind to Krishna without some intention or feeling, like you said, sankalpa. So, is it like, it's not in sequence so much, but it seems like they're together.
They're certainly similar. But, you know, the initial is just a discipline. And the other is with deeper feeling, the feeling of, like, you know, the mother in the lap, excuse me, the child in the lap of the mother. Taking shelter and feeling completely safe and protected. Not a care in the world about what's out there, just be in the lap of my mother and everything's okay. That sense of, it's active, it's not neutral or passive, it's active, taking shelter. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.